many, many years ago in the purpose-driven life, and it's an image that a friend scribbled for me and showed me, and this is our own artwork for All Saints. But I pray that over the coming term and over the coming next 5 years, that God would lead and guide us as we seek to build a church around the purposes of Scripture. And as we think over the coming weeks, we're going to visit each room of the house and see what God is calling us to do as a church family and to be as we build on the great work that's happened over many years. And we look ahead together under God for a fresh vision and direction for our church families. Together, we seek to be God's people in God's place and share the gospel here in Crowborough and all over the world. So all of you have got this little card. Take it away with you. You might want to have it in your hand if you can't see the screens behind me. And we're going to be using this, and we'll use that video again and again and again and again to be know the tune, and we can do the at the end together, in unison, in synchronized movements. Right, let me just pray for us. Let's pray. Loving Lord, thank you so much that we are your people. And we're part of this church family. We thank you for St. Richard's. We thank you for Thursday. We thank you for all our congregations on a Sunday, for the different people's lives that are touched through the ministry of All Saints. And we pray to begin this series here and at St. Richard's next week and on Thursday last week, that you would lead us as a church family and make clear what you are calling us to do and to be in the years ahead, that the gospel might go forth and others might come to know the Lord Jesus with us. In his name we pray. Amen. So 1 Peter chapter 2, we look at those verses this morning as a background to this whole house vision image. There's nothing like a building, is there, to get people excited. Think of this building here when you first walked in 16 years ago and you saw this amazing space and you kind of, I guess your mouth dropped. This is huge. It's a beast of a building. Or maybe you love to bore your kids every summer by taking them to National Trust houses. My kids hate it, but I keep going. I've got the ticket. I'm going to make it pay. And Sussex is full of houses with a National Trust. Praise the Lord. But also there's TV shows all about buildings, isn't there? There's location, location, location. And my favourite, George Clark's Amazing Spaces and all those manly, tiny sheds, which I just love. Buildings are aspirational, inspirational. We love a building, but we know that buildings do not last. Just go downstairs and smell the damp, the water's coming in. You have to work hard at keeping a building sound. The weather spoils it, people spoil it, time spoils it. But actually, our God is in the business of building. And he's building a house like no other. He's been doing it throughout history. God is building a house. And it's there in verse 5 of our reading. He describes it as a spiritual house. A spiritual house. That means it's not going to perish or decay or fall apart. God is building a spiritual house. And it's got a rock solid foundation and cornerstone. The cornerstone that holds it up, we see, is the living stone, verse 4. In verse 6, we see he is the cornerstone chosen and precious. And as we heard earlier, that's Jesus. Christ alone. Cornerstone. The cornerstone is Jesus. That is who this spiritual house is being built upon. And just check out the building materials. People build with all sorts of things, don't they? Stone or straw or wood and mud. It's familiar building material in verse 5. It's stones, but they're living stones. That represents us. If we're Christians today, we are living stones. We once were spiritually dead, without life, without Christ. We came to know Jesus and we've been brought to new life, resurrection life. We are living stones made alive through faith in Jesus. So this house is built full of living stones. That's the picture that Peter is painting for us, the apostle here. A house like no other. And it's eternal. The only safe place of refuge forever. God's house. That's what this house image is based upon. And actually, Paul talks about the household of faith in Ephesians chapter 2. And he talks about it being built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. The apostles is the New Testament. The prophets is the Old Testament. This house is built on the living and enduring word of God. Can you see the foundation there? That is the living and enduring word of God. And as we go to each room in the house over the coming term and in our vision setting times, we want to base every room on the house, every purpose of church life, upon the living and enduring word of God. And I've got three P's for you this morning. Pa, 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 pa. Like penguins, or think of the adverts in the cinema. Pa, 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 pa. Anything to get it to stick. Three P's: preciousness, privilege, purpose. The first P, the preciousness of Jesus. This passage oozes with the person of Jesus and how wonderful he is. It is him that unites us all as living stones into this house. For the believer, he is precious, but we know for many in the world, he's a waste of space. He's a joke. Look at what the passage says, verse 4. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals. Men reject Jesus. Women reject Jesus. They think he's a laugh. He's a joke. They stumble over him. They see he's a waste of time. In fact, we see in history that the very ones who should have welcomed Jesus, the Jewish people, those builders the Bible talks about of old, they rejected Jesus when he came. But while many in the past and present's verdict of Jesus is that he's a waste of time, that he's nothing special, God's verdict is the only one that matters. So you watch The X Factor, and who do they really care about? Simon Cowell, what he thinks. When they're making a cake, they think, who do we really care about? We really care about what Mary Berry thinks of my cakes. Stick you, Paul Hollywood. You're grumpy. Or you go to the courtroom. Whose opinion matters? The judge and the jury. Well, when it comes to Jesus, there is no higher authority or opinion that matters. It silences us all. It's his verdict that counts. Look what he says, verse 4. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. Jesus is precious to the Father. I wonder what you have that is really precious in your home or in your life. Maybe it's an artifact that's old. Maybe it's a place you go to. Maybe it's a book or a bit of paper that someone wrote for you. Remember the day I invited Jenny to be my wife? And I bravely had the ring in my pocket. And she said yes, which was a massive relief. I had no receipt. And I showed her the ring, and she very kindly put it on and said yes. But she doesn't wear it anymore. She didn't like it. But I know that I am precious. I don't care about the ring. It sits in a tin. She has offered it to one of the girls on her passing, and nobody wants it. It was a very good deal. She wears a grandmother's ring, which is far more valuable and beautiful. I don't care. She loves me. Well, what does Jesus what does God think of Jesus? He says he's more precious than the most precious stone, the most precious thing. Jesus, the eternal Son of God, the Word made flesh, the joy and delight of the Father, is so beautiful, so precious. No one can or should take his place. And for those who believe, Jesus is precious too, isn't he? Because he is the way into the house. There's no door on this picture, but actually Jesus is the way into the house. Jesus said, didn't he? I am the door. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He is the way, and he is our precious Savior. Through Jesus, the precious, rejected, crucified in my place, risen Jesus is the way into the house. And for me, for every believer, he is precious. Can you see verse 4? The first three words, come to him. Talks about us coming to faith for the first time. Whether that was a moment in time or a process we went through. It also is a word that talks, a phrase talks about an ongoing coming to Jesus. Keep coming to him. We keep coming to Jesus, to him, because he's precious. As we keep coming to him day by day in our Christian lives, It's by coming to Jesus that we grow in faith. That's where verse 4 and 5 go, isn't it? Come to him, a living stone, verse 5, like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house. As we come to Jesus again and again and again, as believers, we are built up in him. So where do we find Jesus? Where can we find him? We come through the foundation, by the Spirit of God, through the Word of God. We meet Jesus. He walks off the pages of Scripture. We meet him. We hear from him. We love him. We grow in him. We obey him. That's the maturity room in our house. Keep coming to Jesus. Be built up in him. We want to grow as a church family to maturity. As we love Jesus and he is precious and we come to him, we are to grow in him as we come to him in his Word, as we pray to him, as we praise him, as we meditate upon him. That's what God wants us all to do. Every stone, whatever shape or size, keep coming to Jesus. Keep delighting in Jesus. Be built up in him. The way into the house is through the precious work of Jesus, the cornerstone. And God wants us to keep coming to him through his Word and prayer, that we might mature in him. Maturity. Maturing in Jesus. First P, preciousness. The preciousness of Jesus. Second P, the privilege of belonging to Jesus. The privilege of belonging to God's house. So when we come to faith, we receive what is his. It's amazing. What is his becomes ours. Do you spot the parallels in the passage? Verse 4, come to him a living stone. What are God's people called in verse 5? Living stones. Verse 4, come to him a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. Verse 9, how are God's people, the living stones, described? You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. As we come to Jesus for the first time, what Jesus is becomes ours. We become a living stone. We're made alive in Christ. We are chosen like him. And we are precious in God's sight. We are loved. What a privilege. What a privilege. And I love those words in verse 6. Whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. What a privilege. All our shames are dealt with at the cross. All our sin, no longer condemned, welcomed his people. Jesus, God looks at us and he sees Jesus, not our shameful past, not our sinfulness. He sees Jesus. Whoever will come to him will not be put to shame. The privilege of belonging to God's house. What is ours. And also we see that we become members of God's house. That's the membership room. Do you notice how all the language is about groups of people, not just individual stones coming to church on a Sunday and walking away again as if they've just done their duty? This is talking about a corporate bunch of people, the house, a chosen race, verse 9, a royal priesthood, God's own people. Do you know we need each other? We're designed and saved to be a house together, to belong, to be a member. Membership of a local church, in our case, All Saints or St. Richard's or Thirsty Congregation or the congregation we go to, our privilege is to belong. God wants us to be a member, together, committed to, meeting with. I wonder how we're doing individually and corporately at that sense of, I belong. How can we develop that? How can we encourage that? So that we're committed to praying together, meeting and learning together, crying together, rejoicing together with my new forever family. Membership of the house is a great privilege. And together, we can be involved in another room together in ministry. In using our God-given gifts to serve and build the church and reach out for God in the community. So easily we don't value what it means to belong. It's a massive privilege. We've got a family like nobody else in the world. We belong to God's people. And we can serve him together in a common purpose. You see, together we're called to be this royal priesthood, aren't we? Verse 5, it says, you're being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. Verse 9, a royal priesthood. You remember in the Old Testament, only the priest could offer the sacrifice. Only the high priest could go once a year into the Holy of Holies. Because of Jesus, all that is gone. We're all priests, all able to approach God through Jesus. All have a ministry, all called by God to serve together as priests of God's house, leading others to Jesus and coming to God's presence together in praise and worship. The privilege is huge. I wonder, have we lost that? Is it a drag? We'd rather just switch a telly on and not come. If that's the case, we've missed out on the privilege and we've lost a sense of privilege of belonging to Jesus and God's house. I pray that as we look at this vision, we will grow in our sense of the joy and privilege of being part of God's people, being a member locally and having ministry together. The preciousness of Jesus, the privilege of belonging, and finally, the purpose of the house. It's there in verse 9. It's pretty straightforward. Let's look at it again. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you might proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous life. God's people belonging to him. Why? In order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Right at the heart of the house is that word magnify or magnification. The heart of our house is desired to be those who proclaim, who declare, who rejoice in the saving acts of God through Jesus. That you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who saved you from darkness to light. On a Sunday, we gather to worship and egg each other on in that, don't we? I love singing with God's people. It encourages me to praise the Lord, to exalt his saving acts together. And our hearts are moved and we rejoice together. But as we do that, we're called to do that in the world as well. Magnification leads to mobilization, going out with the gospel of Jesus. Do you know, last night was just the most amazing night in Crowborough. It's fantastic. Thanks to all those who made the float, who dressed up, who looked stupid, who got soaking wet, who threw lollipops at people. But it was the most amazing night because we sang some pretty normal songs. YMCA is a classic. And Macarena, that's a great one to dance to on the streets of Crowborough, particularly when you've got a mask and no one knows it's you. But actually, we sang songs of praise. It was so moving to stand and sing of Jesus and declare it on the streets. It was powerful. It was so powerful to proclaim Jesus' name on the streets of Crowborough, to magnify him out there behind this massive, float. Now, we'd have to do that every day. But it's just an expression of what we're called to do. Proclaiming, I belong to Jesus. He is precious. And there's that testimony there in verse 10, isn't there? There's a testimony of every believer based on the words and the story of Hosea. Once you are not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you'd not received mercy, but now you've received mercy. That's my story. There was a time when I didn't belong to Jesus. He was not my father. But I came to faith in him. And I belong to him through Jesus. And God is my father. I belong to God forever. God has shown me his mercy. I don't deserve it. I'm a sinner. If you know what I think sometimes, you wouldn't bear to listen to me. But God is merciful. He saved me through the precious blood of Jesus. I will not be put to shame. I'm trusting in him. Praise God. And we're called to declare that, to speak that out. I belong to Jesus and he is precious, because people are lost, people are lonely, and people want to belong. And we have the answer. And it's Jesus. Come to him. Come to him. The preciousness of Jesus. The privilege of belonging. The purpose of the house. Magnification and mobilization. See that word right at the top, just in the eaves? Multiplication. That's the bit in the video that goes at the end. The idea is that by God's grace, we might see new congregations planted here, in other places in the coming years, because people need Jesus. And like McDonald's, the more you have, the more people you reach. It's the same with church. The more you have, the more people you reach, whatever shape and size. Over the coming weeks, as we look at each room in the house, there'll be an opportunity for you to respond. At the back, there's a box, and each week there'll be some questions about each house that we want you to respond to prayerfully, as together we seek ideas of what we need to be doing, of what we can improve to grow and develop the ministry of the church under God. You know, I love Jesus' words when he said to Peter, "I will build my church." And we know when Jesus says stuff, he does it. We might look at the telly and watch songs of praise and think, gosh, they're looking very grey. They always have on songs of praise. You might look at songs of praise and think, they look very grey. You might look at the church declining all over the place, looking a bit bleak. But Jesus said, "I will build my church. I'm going to do it. I will build my church." So will we shake off any apathy, lethargy, any? We've done that before. That's not allowed to be said. We're looking ahead. Will we step up? Step in, pray, get involved and excited about what God is calling us and leading us to do together to build his house, his church for his glory. Let me just pray. Father, take these words of yours from scripture. Take this image, Lord, from your word and help us as a church family to pray through it and think about it, as we seek to move together as a church family forward for the growth of your gospel, for the needy people of Crowborough and all over this world. In Jesus' name, amen.